Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's great to be here tonight, and we're going to sing for a while. Of course, before we do that, though, we do need to pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy mercy, thanking thee for thy love. Praying, O God, that thou wouldst be with us here tonight. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst lead us and guide us, direct us every step of the way. Fill us all with thy Spirit. Let there be a move of the Holy Ghost here tonight, we pray. We ask, O God, that thy power would fall tonight. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst be with us in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 143 in the chorus book tonight. We have come into this house. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Righteousness, I stand and lead in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness, I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness, I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God, and it is such a wonderful thing to worship the Lord. Yeah. Why don't we go to number 11 and sing, Let's Just Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just God. But why don't we go to number 25 and sing Let Go and Let God Have His Way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turns to day. Let go and let God have His way. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. To God, and we do serve a wonderful Savior. I think what we'll do now is get into the hymnal a little bit, the Melodies of Praise hymnal. And you know, I was going through the book earlier and came across a song we haven't sang for quite a long time, I'm not sure if I even remember how it goes exactly, but I would like to try it tonight. Number 149, He Took My Sins Away. And praise the Lord, we serve a Savior who has taken our sins away. I came to Jesus, weary, worn, and sad. He took my sins away, He took my sins away. And now His love has made my heart so glad. He took my sins away. He took my sins away, He took my sins away. And He keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away. He took my sins away. The load of sin was more than I could bear. He took them all away. He took them all away. And now on Him I roll my every care. He took my sins away. He took my sins away, He took my sins away, and He keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away, He took my sins away. No condemnation have I in my heart. He took my sins away, He took my sins away. His perfect peace He did to me impart. He took my sins away. He took my sins away, He took my sins away, and He keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away. He took my sins away. If you will come to Jesus Christ today, He'll take your sins away. He'll take your sins away and keep you happy in His love each day. He'll take your sins away. He took my sins away, He took my sins away, and He keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away, He took my sins away. He took my sins away, He took my sins away, and He keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away, He took my sins away. And He did take our sins away. And when He did that, He also took away our burdens. Why don't we go to number 122 and sing My Burdens Rolled Away. I remember when my burdens rolled away. I had carried them for years, night and day. When I sought the blessed Lord and I took Him at His word, then at once all my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away. Since my burdens rolled away, I remember when my burdens rolled away, that I feared would never leave night or day. showed to me the lost, so I left them at the cross. I was glad when my burdens rolled away. Burdens rolled away that had hindered me for years, night and day. I saw the throne of grace, just a glimpse of Jesus' face, and I knew that my burdens could not stay. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled song within my heart, night and day. I am living for my King, and with joy I shout and sing. Hallelujah, my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, sometimes that can be a hard lesson to learn. It can take a while, but we need to learn to let Jesus take our burdens away. Let go of them and let Him take them away. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy many abundant blessings. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power. We thank Thee for Thy mercy and Thy grace that has kept us here for so long. We ask for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purposes. And we ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. And actually, this is a request from Shirley Rayhorse. She would like us to sing number 199 in the hymnal, I Shall Not Be Moved. So we're going to do that right now. Number 199. Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. In my Christ abiding, I shall not be moved. In His love I'm hiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. If I trust Him ever, I shall not be moved. He will fail me never, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. On His word I'm feeding, I shall not be moved. He's the one that's leading, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, Lord, I shall not be moved. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And those are good words to remember. If I trust Him ever, I shall not be moved. He will fail me never. I shall not be moved. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, on that note, we're going to turn things over to Shirley here and see what she has to say tonight.
Okay. Ben? Okay. Oh, praise the Lord. It's always just wonderful to worship the Lord. It's wonderful to praise Him. Praise our God. He's so good to us. Oh, more than we could half know, you know? More than we could just even hardly begin to know how good He is. But we're going to pray as we begin. And I know Sister Vicki had a prayer request. And I know Shirley had called and asked that we pray for her too. And I don't know if there are any more needs that we need to pray for. Diane?
Some of the symptoms are coming back from the arthritis. My ankle's swelling up and my knees are getting a little sore again, so I want to try to make that
look. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray, and later we can anoint you with oil too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, that we have this opportunity here again tonight, Lord. We know where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are in the midst, Lord, and you are here tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can gather here, Lord. Oh God, we thank you that we can sing your praises. God, we thank you that we can draw nigh to you, Lord, and that we can lift our voices, Lord. And we have this opportunity, Lord. We have this place. And God, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd be here, Lord. I pray that you'd move mountains that need to go in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that you'd increase our faith. Oh God, increase our lookout. Oh God, give us that steadfastness, Lord, that we will not be moved, oh Lord, and that we'll be anchored in you, Jesus, that we'll be steadfast. Oh God, that our faith will be built on the rock, Lord. And oh God, regardless of what comes or goes, Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that you would keep us, that you talk to us, that you'd use us, that you give us faith, Lord. And oh God, we bring these needs before you too, Lord. I bring Diane before you, Lord. And I pray that you would touch her body, Lord. I pray that this inflammation would go now in the name of Jesus, that her ankles would not swell, Lord, her knees. God, I pray in Jesus' name, oh Lord, that you would touch her, Lord. Oh God, that you'd heal her, for with your stripes we are healed, oh Lord. And oh God, I pray that you would do this work, Lord. Oh God, that you would touch her even now, Lord. For thou art able, Lord. Thou carest. Thou art here. Oh God, if we could but touch your hem, Lord, you are here, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, God. And we bring this little boy, Ben, before you, God. Oh, God. I pray, oh, God, that you'd have mercy on him. That you'd give him faith, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd talk to his soul. Oh, God, that that lymphoma, Lord, would go in the name of Jesus, Lord. That you touch this child, that he would know that it's you that who has touched him. God, I pray, oh, God, that it would be a witness. Oh, and a testimony of your goodness, of your mercy, of your kindness, of your ability, Lord. I pray that you touch this child. Oh God, I pray that you'd breathe hope into him, into his parents, Lord. I pray, oh God, that there'd be for a witness and a testimony, Lord. And oh God, it would be verified in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh, praise your name, Lord. God, I bring Shirley before you, Lord, and I pray that you touch her tonight. You know her need, oh God, that she needs an answer for right now, this very moment, Lord. I pray, oh God, that she would touch her, Lord, that she'd heal her, that she'd move right now in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh God, we just take authority over all the enemy's plots and plans, and oh God, the things that he tries to put on us, Lord. Oh God, we bring it to thee, Lord Jesus. We know that thou art able, and with your stripes we are healed. We pray, oh God, that your spirit would flow even right now in Jesus' name, oh Lord, that we could touch you, Lord Jesus, right now in the name of Jesus, for with your stripes we are healed. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we could draw nigh. And God, you know the other needs, Lord, that haven't been mentioned. And God, I pray that you would touch your people, Lord, that you would touch them afresh, that you'd give them strength, oh Lord, in the inner man, oh Lord, that the Holy Ghost would fall, Lord Jesus. And God, I'm praying that somebody would be converted tonight, Lord Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus that somebody, oh Lord, would find you as Lord and Savior and reach out and touch you, Lord, oh God. Oh God, that you would do a work, oh Lord, for the time is short. And oh God, we're bringing it to you, Lord. We're knowing that you are the same, Lord. And oh Lord, that door is still open. And we thank you and we praise you. Oh God, we give you, oh God, the glory that's to your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Let the devil be rebuked. Everything, oh, that he might try to do, Lord. I pray that you give us faith right now in Jesus' name, that you give us faith. Oh, God, that the strong man would be bound in the name of Jesus, for we take authority over him. In the name of Jesus, with his stripes we are healed. Oh, God. Oh, God, in your salvation, full and free, oh, Lord. Let it be found here tonight, Lord. Let it be found in the hearts of thy people. Oh, God, someone who's calling out to you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Oh, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. We praise you, Jesus. Let's worship him. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, God, we worship you, Lord. Oh, God, we ask you to be here, Lord, to meet the needs of your people. Oh, God, to talk to our hearts. Oh, God, to bind this strong man in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh, God, take authority over the enemy and everything he tries to do. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise you, God. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. He is here. Praise the Lord. And thank God we can reach out and touch him as he passes by. You know, wow, if we could literally see him with our eyes, would we run toward him? Would we, you know, cry to him? I mean, you know, wouldn't we make some effort? Wouldn't we want to be here? I mean, he is here. He is here. We can't see him, but yet we know that he's promised to be with his people, and we can sense and feel his presence. We can know in our hearts that he's real and that he's here and that he's alive and alive forevermore to meet our needs as we draw nigh to him. Yes, he's here. Oh, I praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. We can reach out and touch him as he passes by. He's never too busy. That's right. He's never too busy. We'll never fully realize, I don't suppose, on this earth, what our wonderful salvation means and how good he has been to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We could just half sense it, you know. I just, wow. I mean, we're all going the wrong way. You know, I just remember as a little girl, at times I could, before the Lord reached out and touched me, I could just feel my bed vibrating, and it was just a really icky feeling, and whatever all was going on there. But I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus came to my life and everything changed. I used to be afraid to go down to the basement, you know, I would, but I was afraid, you know. But I remember when the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, wow, everything changed. It all changed. All things became new. And suddenly I wasn't afraid to go down to the basement anymore, you know. And the bed stopped vibrating. And all those funny, strange things went away. And, you know, I knew I was on my way to heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. And he took away my sins, as we sang tonight. He took them away, buried them in the sea of forgetfulness. And, oh, praise the Lord. Listen, could anybody do anything better than that for us? Could anything be done in our lives that would be greater than that? I mean, if they gave us $1 million or a mansion or, you know, 40 cars and many servants and everything else, come on. Could anything be greater than what our Lord has done for us? I don't think so. He took our sins away. We were condemned. We were ready for hell. We were going to hell. And he picked us up. He set our feet straight. He put us on the rock, Christ Jesus. He gave us a song in our heart, a song of praise to our God. It says, many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. No. He's been good to us. He's been good to us. Plus, all those many promises. Yes, with his stripes, we are healed. You know, we need to claim that. In the name of Jesus, we need to claim that. It's right. It's a glorious church, too, without spot or wrinkle. He's taken care of all the aspects and given us much hope. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to call this the long suffering of the Lord tonight. And you could go with me to 1 Peter and the third chapter. And we're just going to read a little bit here and then go from there and see what the Lord does. Oh, praise the Lord. But I know he's here. He's here to meet our needs. And wow, what a wonderful long-suffering Savior we have. You know, I'm going to be talking about that. It's, of course, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit were in the Lord Jesus. He and every single one of them. He's our example. And oh boy, what a mighty God. What a precious Savior. What a friend. Amen. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. To begin with. Okay, I guess I don't have glasses in there. All right. So here it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Okay, praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing. We have a Savior who did it for us. And we know that he came to earth for one reason, and that was to seek to save those that were lost. He came here to take away sins. He came to deliver us from the power of the enemy so that we might be free from the oppression. We might be restored. We might be brought back. We might be delivered. So here it tells us, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And then it talks about how he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And you know, what a wonderful thing. It was just like every aspect our Heavenly Father thought of. You know, there was nothing left out. And, you know, Ephesians 4:9, well, let's say 4:8 to start with, tells us, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And then it tells us in verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Yes, because there was something he had to do. There was something he had to do. So, you know, before it was all done and finished there, before he was risen from the dead, I believe he went down into the lower parts of the earth. And here it tells us a little bit about more about it here in 1 Peter. He led captivity captive. Oh, wow, those that were in bondage, those that need to be delivered, he set them free. And he preached unto the spirits in prison. And it tells us in verse 20 here in 1 Peter, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And what a thing that must have been. There, you know, Noah, I do believe, preached a long time to those people. And, you know, what was God doing in the midst of all of that? God was patiently waiting. He was giving these people an opportunity to repent, to turn to him. It's quite an amazing thing. It was a long suffering of God waiting that out. And while Noah was obedient and building that ark, the Lord was working in those people. Or at least, you know, it doesn't seem that they much received it, you know, much change. Obviously they didn't, you know, but yet it was giving them an opportunity. The seventh chapter of Genesis just tells us bits and pieces. It has a story here of Noah, and tells us sixth verse, he was 600 years old when the flood of water was upon the earth. He went in, his sons, his wife, his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And then it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. You see, it hadn't rained before that. It hadn't rained, and I suppose to those people in that time period, it sounded crazy. You know, the Lord had allowed a mist to come up and water the earth day by day. And, you know, I'm sure it was a very healthy environment besides, and it was very adequate. They didn't need rain. But all at once, God is switching things around a bit. He's has seen the wickedness, the violence in the earth, and he was not pleased with that. He was not pleased. He saw the wickedness and knew that their imagination was evil continually. The thoughts of their heart, it was evil continually, it tells us, and it tells us how the Lord repented that he had made man in the earth. It grieved him. It was so difficult for him to see what his creation was doing, how they were behaving, and the disregard they had for each other and certainly for their God. And of course, the Lord said he was going to destroy man that he had created from the face of the earth, and beast also, and creepy things and fowls of the air, because, you know, he was lamenting that he had even created them. But praise the Lord, there was a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was a man who was perfect in all his generations at that point, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's not saying that he was perfect, but God was able to use him. And there was faith in his heart, obviously. And you know, because of that, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, to such an extent, he was willing to hear the Lord and obey him. You know, in spite of the opposition. Because, you know, obviously these people weren't any denies. It tells us clearly that the wickedness was very great. So here he is, building an ark. And over that time period, it tells us how he was a preacher of righteousness, talking to those people, trying to get them to see what was necessary, trying to get them to repent and turn away from their evil ways. But it seems that you must not have heard. They must not have heard him. They must not have listened. You know, they must have let it go in one ear and out the other. They didn't take heed. That is for sure. And so it was. You know, the time came. Time came to go into that ark. You know, God talked to Noah and said, it's time now. It's time to get into that ark. You know, get those animals. You know, seven of the clean animals and two that are unclean. And you know, of all the fowls of the air, and you know, male and female of each, bring them into the ark. It's time. It's time, and I don't know how it was, if they all came to him, possibly so, you know, or if he spent, you know, a long period of time going to get them, I don't know. But anyway, the moment did come that he was to get into the ark, his sons were to get into the ark, his wife was in the ark, and his sons' wives, they were all in the ark, and all the creatures that God had ordained to be in the ark were in the ark. And so it tells us that they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And it tells us in verse 16 of Genesis 7, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. And I've thought of this quite often lately. You know, God shut the door. And, you know, I just feel like those people, when those rains started falling, they wanted to get into that ark. All at once, what Noah had been preaching made sense. You know, suddenly, I have a feeling they were ready to turn around and repent. But it was too late. God had shut the door, and I don't know how hard they pounded or what implements they might have used to try to knock that door down. God had shut it, and it was shut. There was no way to get into that ark. There was no way to get out of it. It was fixed. It was declared. It was determined. God had shut the door. And you know, right now, there is a door that's opened. There's a door of salvation. It is opened right now. But you know, one day soon, that door is going to close. It's going to close. And I'm positive once that door is closed, it's not going to be opened. You know, it's going to get to a place where it's just plain too late. Just plain too late. Revelation verse 7, the angel of the church of Philadelphia was being addressed there. And it says, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." So there in Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8, it tells us that the door was still opened at that moment. The door of salvation, and no man could shut it. I don't care, you know, what their decrees are and what their plans are. As long as God has allowed that door to be opened, it will be opened. And at that point, people could still come in and find salvation and find the Lord. You know, it's not like the Schofield scenario by any means. It's God who's opened that door, and it's God who will shut the door. But yet, that moment is coming when he will shut that door and no man will open it. It will come. It will come. Because that's our God. What he has declared does come to pass. Does come to pass. And just as God shut that door on that ark, it was closed. The animals didn't get on that were outside of it. And the animals that were in couldn't leave. It was just like that for the moment, for those months, that they were in the ark. Those 40 days and 40 nights it rained, and then that period of time before the waters were abated enough so that they could get off the ark. So it was. But here back in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, tells us that there wasn't something that the Lord Jesus did after they crucified him. He went and preached unto the spirits in prison. It tells us which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Well, the ark was a preparing wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. So there was something else that had to be done in the mind of God. There was some long-suffering that God still had for those people. And I don't know the outcome, but God does. And there was a reason for it. And besides that, there's a wonderful comparison here. You know, 8 were saved by water. That water that destroyed the others saved those that were in the ark. And it tells us in verse 21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." Praise the Lord. You just don't tell me that our baptism is optional. You know, there's a very significant work done. When it's done in the name of the Lord Jesus, it's for the remission of sins. And we rise up out of that water, a new creature in Christ, that past washed away, and the ability to give a good answer towards God, because our conscience has been cleared. We've been washed in the blood, and those sins have been taken away. Praise the Lord! The things that separated us from God have been taken away, so that we have a clear conscience toward God. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful God we serve. Let's also go to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and read a bit more as we speak of the long-suffering of God. not the Lord. Looking at verse 3 here in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So here it is, that old world, that world of Noah, before the flood, was destroyed. It was destroyed. The Lord destroyed it all. As far as, you know, the creatures and any life at all, it was destroyed. And everything changed after that point. You know, the mist didn't come up from, you know, the heavens every day to water the earth after that point. To this day, we still need rain to fall from the clouds. You know, the process of evaporation and condensation and that process where the clouds fall to earth and precipitate and bring us water. You know, that need that we have here. But it changed. But it was the word of God that changed things. And here we are on this earth that the Lord Jesus created. And you know, it's just hanging by the word of God. God is upholding all things by the word of his power, we're told in Hebrews, the 1st chapter, verse 3. It's standing on the word of God. It's, you know, rotating on its axis and there in its place, because God put it there. God ordained it. And it's going to be there until it's time for him to change it. And as it tells us in this portion of scripture, it's here it is. That old world of Noah, it perished. It perished with water. But then it tells us in verse 7 here, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. You know, this earth, it has a destiny. You know, there's something that God has declared. This earth is not going to be destroyed by water again, as it was in the days of Noah, but it is going to be destroyed by fire. And it's reserved for that destination. It's declared in God's word. And it goes on to tell us in 2 Peter here, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful verse. You know, sometimes you hear people just saying, I don't know why the Lord hasn't come yet. And I suppose we've all thought that. And at times we see the wickedness and the ugliness, and you know, we know what it's like to have this flesh and some of the burdens that we all bear as human beings. And you know, there is that yearning within us to be freed from all this. But yet, it's because the Lord is waiting. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, it tells us in James, the 5th chapter, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, it tells us. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. Oh yes, the early rains fell on the day of Pentecost. And wow, here we are at the time of the latter rain. And yet our Lord has not yet come. But he's waiting. He's waiting. He's holding out. It tells us here in 2 Peter. But he is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's holding out for those that are yet without that ark of safety, those that have yet not come to him in repentance. He's waiting. He's waiting. There's still somebody who needs to come to the Lord. There's still somebody that the Lord is holding out for because he has not yet come. And he's not slack concerning that promise, as some men count slackness, it tells us. But he's long-suffering. He's willing to go through it. He's willing to wait because there's somebody that would perish otherwise. But God is holding out. He is holding out, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, wow. I don't know. I just know that there are going to be people at his coming. The Lord is still calling. You know, he's still seeking those that are lost. That door of salvation is still opened. And I'm glad for it. I'm glad for it because there are people that yet need to get right with God. There are people that need to be restored, that need to come back. And you know, maybe toward us. Have we done all the things that we need to do for the Lord? You know, how is it with us? You know, have we fulfilled his purpose in our lives yet? You know, have we drawn nigh to him with all our heart and got to that place and done the things that he's asked us to do? I think he's holding out for us too, to get to that place where, you know, we're zealous for the Lord, where we're seeking him with the whole heart, where we're doing his will. Oh, that God would help us. But our God is long-suffering. You know, his mercy, his love, his grace is beyond our comprehension. You know, what a miracle that he came to us while we were yet sinners. You know, while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for the ungodly. You know, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But while we were sinners, while we were far from God, Christ died for the ungodly. Praise the Lord. That's you and I. That's all of us. That's you and mine. That's you who will hear this message someday. The Lord Jesus died that we might have life eternal, that we might be saved from our sins and live for him. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord for his mercy. He's not slack. He's going to come. It's going to happen. You know, one of these moments in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, he's going to come. You know, that trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord, and we could comfort one another with those words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. But here it is. It goes on here in 2 Peter to talk about the day of the Lord. That day of the Lord that's going to come when it's going to be too late. It tells us in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. It doesn't seem that anything is going to remain. It's all going to be gone. It's all going to be burnt up. And then it tells us in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. You know, if we know these things, you know, shouldn't that fear of the Lord be in our heart? You know, we could be with the wicked except for the grace of God. We could, you know, we could fall. We could be hindered. Our names could be blotted out of the book of life. It is possible from what I read in the scripture. So there needs to be that fear. We see. We know, we read, what is going to happen. These things are going to be dissolved. So what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The fear of God that needs to be deep within us, down in our life, moving and stirring us continually. Oh, causing us to get down on our knees and pray. You know, causing us to seek His face. Causing us to read the scripture and put it in our hearts. So as looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Oh my, even the heavens, all of it, this world that we know now, is going to be dissolved. It's going to be burnt up. You know, it's going to be destroyed. But it tells us in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord, that place where there's no sin. Oh, praise the Lord, that place where our Lord is, where we can see His face and dwell in His presence. Oh, and be in the company of those that have been bought by the power of God, by His precious blood. Praise the Lord, what a day that's going to be. And it tells us in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, praise the Lord. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. He came to restore all that which had been lost when Adam and Eve sinned, and that fellowship that we could have with Him again, to be our mediator, to bring us to Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. But we do need to give diligence that we might be found of Him in peace, with no condemnation, without spot and blameless. Praise the Lord. He's getting us ready. His long suffering is getting us ready, and He's waiting. Because there's going to be that moment when all at once He's going to thrust in the sickle and reap the earth. He tells us of that in Revelation, the 14th chapter, that moment. You know, He tells us the 14th verse of chapter 14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on His head a golden crown, and in His hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. When it's completed, when that last soul has come to Christ, that harvest will be completed. And then the earth is reaped. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Just like that. Just like that. But right now, we still are in that period called time. Oh yes, there is that angel, the 10th chapter of Revelation, it tells us, is going to stand upon the sea and upon the earth and lift up his hand to heaven. And he's going to swear by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. That moment when time ends, that time when it's too late to seek the Lord, that time when that door is shut. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. It's going to end. This wonderful dispensation or period of time of grace will end. And that angel, yes, he's going to stand, you know, upon the sea and upon the earth, and lift up his hand to heaven to declare that time is going to be no more, no more time, no more opportunity. It's all over. But right now, I believe that door of opportunity is still available. And I believe the earlier portion of Revelation 14 reveals a process that I believe is going on. I believe, you know, the Lord is still giving space to repent. And it may well be that very last call. I don't know, but I see what's going on in this world. I read things that I'd rather not read, to tell you the truth, at times. Not very pretty, you know, and all the potential and all that. I know our life is in God's hands. I know He's going to take care of us. I know He's going to shorten the days, because otherwise no flesh would be saved. But I believe that last call could easily be going forth right now. That last call to repentance. And Revelation 14, verse 6 describes it. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. That call to repent, to get right, to worship God, to fear God. That hour of His judgment is going to come. We've got to get in line with His word right now. Right now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. It's going to be too late one of these moments. We don't know the day or the hour of His coming. We don't know. Sometimes people predict it, don't they? And they say this and that and all of that. But you know, God knows. But it will happen. That everlasting gospel going forth to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And you know, just following that call to repentance, another angel comes upon the scene, and that angel declares, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Oh, wow, it's coming down. Oh, this empire that the Illuminists have created, so they think, is going to fall. It's going to go down completely. It's going to be crushed. It's going to fall. Babylon is going to fall. And then the third angel follows, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Oh, not a pretty picture. But the warning goes out. And already, I know there's people who have a chip. I know already there's people that don't seem to care. You know, there's already the people that seem to be given over to this Antichrist spirit, which is on the face of this earth right now. I believe it's there. You can feel it many times. There's a greater pressure than I perhaps all of us feel, even since that Supreme Court declaration when they made same-sex marriage a legal thing. I tell you what, yeah, the climate has changed. And evil men abound. But yet our God is mighty. And our God is on the scene, and He's seen it all. And it's all happening because God ordained that it would come to this. And He is bringing His will to fruition. And you know, it's all coming to an ending point. it's all going to culminate. And all at once, it's going to be over. It's going to be over. And, you know, I see there in Revelation, the 9th chapter, it talks about the sixth angel, which has the trumpet. All at once is declared to that angel to loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Those four angels were loosed, it tells us, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of man. We could be right around this time. I don't know all things. But listen, it's not pretty what's happening on the face of the earth right now. It tells us in the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of man killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. I know the judgment of the Lord is forthcoming. And it says, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. But the thing is, this is going on. And you can see what God is doing. If there's any fear of God at all in the individual's heart. But it tells us in verse 20 here in Revelation 9, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. There it is. God is pouring out judgment. He's giving people warning. But are they heeding? Are they listening? Are they getting right? Are they repenting? It tells us here, in spite of the fact that God has already poured out great judgment, the sixth angel has sounded. Those four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates have been loosened. And I believe that he allows certain things to happen. With that, it initiates certain events. And all at once, the third part of men are slain. Tell you what, that's God's judgment. I don't know what we're going to see soon, but it's going to happen. But yet it tells us that the rest of the men which were not killed by those plagues yet repented not. They did not turn to God. And though God was trying to get at them and tell them and giving them space to repent. And I think that is so interesting. The second chapter of Revelation talks about how God gives space to repent. And it's even talking about Jezebel. I was just pondering that today. It says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. It's talking about that woman, Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And we know that spirit of Jezebel prevails in this world in which we live today. It's there. It's ugly. It's often in our face. But God gives space to repent. And I'll tell you what, you know, the Word of God, I think Jezebel was probably the most wicked woman that is mentioned in the scripture. And yet, God's mercy, God's long-suffering, God's grace to give her space to repent. That just shows you how patient our Savior is, how kind, how merciful, how gracious, you know, to give space to repent. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, as we said, you know, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but but that all should come to repentance. And we know that originally hell was made for the devil and his angels. And then he tells us in Isaiah the 5th chapter how hell had to enlarge herself. There came a point when obviously there was no other recourse, and hell enlarged herself without measure. But originally, it was for the devil and his angels. How sad that there had to be so many that would follow those wicked ways. How sad. Let's go to Joel, the 3rd chapter here. The book of Joel. 3 chapters, and oh wow, they say so much. Let's look at verse 9 to begin here. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about, thither. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. And we know there's many places in the scripture where it tells us the Lord is causing the people to gather together there in the valley of Jehoshaphat or Armageddon. He's causing them to gather together. And in reality, they are gathering together against the Lord. So it says again, verse 11, assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about, thither, cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. He's going to come. Amen. He's going to come and not tarry. It says, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Oh yes, the judgment of God is going to follow. Verse 13, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. And we read that in Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse 14, where the Son of Man puts in the sickle. Verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Here it is, all the final scenario being revealed here. But it tells us, just as you know, that sickle is about to be put in to the earth, and the earth gathered, the earth reaped. There's multitudes, multitudes, a great host of people in the valley of decision. People that have not made up their mind. People that have prolonged, perhaps procrastinated, put off serving the Lord. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Oh, there it is, you know, the Lord calling forth his people, yet calling forth to those that dwell in the earth, that great final call. We also read of it, the 14th chapter of Revelation. You know, it's going to end. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining. And just as the evil are gathered together there at Armageddon, you know, there they come. Just oh, thinking they're mighty and great, I suppose. Oh, God's going to come. He's going to bring his church with him. Praise the Lord. You know, oh, the greatest events that have ever happened are going to unfold at that moment. Oh, praise the Lord. There's going to be a gathering like never before. I believe, you know, he's going to bring them with him who are with him there in the heavens. And those that are his on this earth are all going to be gathered together with him. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. But here it tells us he's going to roar out of Zion. Oh, he's going to roar. They're going to hear it. You know, every eye is going to see him. You know, and they that pierced him. And, you know, all kindreds of the earth are going to mourn because of him. All at once, there he is, and they're going to know who he is. And oh, all at once, you know, any confidence that they had in themselves, or, you know, in their ways, in their idols, oh, it's going to be all for naught, you know. All at once, they're going to fear and tremble. All at once, they're going to look for some place to hide from the wrath of him. Oh, God, that's coming. Oh, Lord. There it is. They're going to seek. Even death, to escape God's wrath. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. If we're alive at that time, and we're hanging on to hope. There he will be. Oh, what a wonderful moment it will be for those that are in Christ, those that have not given their hearts over, those that are still living for the Lord and not living in sin. Oh, what a moment it's going to be for the bride of Christ, those that are holy in his sight, those that are cleansed, those that have given their lives to the Lord. You know, Jeremiah 25 talks about it too. And you just might like to hear this at the moment. Jeremiah 25, verse 30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes, against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Oh, it's not going to be pretty. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Oh, that day of his wrath is coming. The great and terrible day of the Lord. And there he's going to come. He's going to roar from on high. They're going to hear him. Listen, there's not going to be a silent catching away. You know, it's going to be so clear and obvious that there is no mistake. There is no doubt. You know, it's going to be so sure that, you know, nobody's going to question it. They're all going to know. Every individual that has ever lived and walked this earth is going to know at that moment that God has returned. And he's going to return to judge. Oh, wow, he's going to deal with those that have transgressed against his commandments. But praise the Lord, you know, we can be in God. We can be those that will be safe at that moment. He can be the hope of his people. We can be those that are in that category, that are waiting and longing for him and looking for him, our hope, our salvation, oh, the one that we have long waited for. the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, what an opportunity we have. Our life down here is so short, you know. It's, as the scriptures say, it's as a vapor, you know. We're here 1 minute and gone the next. And, you know, you know how fast time is going right now, how the months disappear, how the days disappear, how the weeks disappear. You know, you can hardly believe it, you know. If you're of any age at all, you think back and remember being a child, like, you know, it was just moments ago sometimes. And, you know, on it goes. But what a moment we have here on this earth. It's time to get ready. It's time to be right in the sight of God. He gives us space to repent. He gives us opportunity to come unto Him. Oh, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, praise the Lord. He gives us much hope if we'll just come unto Him. If we'll just be willing to submit our lives to the Lord Jesus. Turn things around. Give it over to God. Oh my, to, you know, admit that we need a Savior. Admit that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh my, and admit that there's no hope without Him. And come unto Him. Oh, He is so willing, you know. He's not slack concerning His promises. Man counts slackness. He's not. He's going to come. It's going to happen. But He's long-suffering. You know, He's waiting. He's holding out. You know, there's somebody who needs to yet come to the Lord Jesus. There's somebody who needs to drink of the living water. There's somebody who needs to be restored. There's somebody that needs life. And praise the Lord, there's a door that's opened. Oh, there's a door that's opened. If we could only come to Him, you know, behold, He stands at that door and He knocks. If any man hear my voice and open that door, he will come unto Him and sup. You know, praise the Lord, that's what it takes. It takes opening that door of your heart and letting the Lord come in and talk to your soul, just as He called Zacchaeus. You know, come down from that tree, Zacchaeus. Come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to go to your house today. And so He gives opportunity. Yes, Zacchaeus took Him home. And they talked. They talked. And you know, after that, things were different for Zacchaeus, weren't they? Oh my, He said He would restore if He had taken from any man. I believe fourfold, you know, and He would make it right. There was a different Zacchaeus because the Lord came to his house and talked to him. And Zacchaeus opened up to that opportunity. He could have said, "No, Lord, no, Lord, I don't want you to come to my house." How many people turn him away? How many people don't let him in? I fear so many. You know, I've seen some amazing things happen. And last time I went to Minnesota, Brother Tim and I worked with a young woman. And after we talked to her that first night, it seemed pretty hopeful. She did pray. And it seemed pretty hopeful that she's turning things around. I called her a couple times. Well, I was yet there, and then second call was pretty good. Third call, I just wasn't so sure that, you know, her heart was really opened anymore. I called her about a week and a half ago, and I'll tell you what, she was a different girl at that point. You know, she had talked about giving up on God. Things had not gone exactly the way she figured they should, and she'd had trouble, and things were disturbing, and some really unruly things had happened. And But instead of drawing near to God, she was thinking about giving up. And you know, Sunday, that Sunday when I talked to her again, it seemed like that was the way she was going. And I can't believe it. A couple days ago, Brother Tim had a call for a taxi ride, and it was Jill. He talked to her the whole time. And I don't know, it didn't seem like she was listening. It didn't seem like, you know, her mind was on following the Lord and living for Him anymore, you know. It's just amazing, you know. And there was another man that got into the taxi that day, and he had another mindset. He had said he'd once been a Christian, but now he was following this other thing, and you know, where you could be saved by your own works and all this and that, and you know, you're kind of your own God, that sort of mentality. I mean, we're seeing all kinds of strange things. And so Tim talked to him, you know, went through the whole thing, you know, with all his heart, and you know, got to the end of it. The man said, "No, thank you. I'm okay. I'm good." Oh. How can you turn away the Lord? You know, He who gave His life for us, He who loved us when we were yet sinners, when we were without Christ, when we were without hope, when we were in despair, when we didn't know what to do, we were ugly in our sins and our trespasses, when we were doomed, when we were condemned. Because I'll tell you what, Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. It was already without hope. But He came that we might be saved. He came that we might have hope, that we might have eternal life, that we could come to Jesus Christ and drink of the waters that He so freely gives to us if we will just come unto Him. I tell you what, it's not easy to see somebody go the other way. But yet, I tell you what, I think there are multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You know, people are going to go one way or the other. There's a hardening in this world right now. You can feel it. You know, we could feel it after that Supreme Court decree that some hearts have hardened. Maybe many hearts have hardened. And people are going their own way in many cases. But yet, the door is still opened. The door is still opened. And you know, there is one that is waiting. He's calling. He's still calling. He's still calling. And it would not be wise to put off that call. We are to make our calling and election sure. You know, we have to give heed. You know, He stands at the door and knocks. But you know what? That door has to be opened. He's not going to force His way in. You know, we have to let Him in. There has to be something within us that cries out for God and wants true salvation, who wants to come to Jesus, is willing to put down that load of sin. And what an ugly old load it is. You know, the things that people carry. Oh my, the sin and the trouble and all the worries and all the burdens. Oh my. But yet there's one that bids us come to Him. Oh, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, praise the Lord. He's got living waters for His people. He's got salvation. He's got eternal life for those that will give heed, that will submit their hearts to God. But it's so important to listen. I know Hebrews, the 10th chapter, talks about sinning willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. It tells us in verse 26, For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You can't trample on God's mercy. Oh, you can't do it. He paid a great price for us to redeem us, to save us, to set us free. And there is no way you want to trample it. There is no way. And we certainly don't want to lose that confidence that we have in Him, that confidence that we have, which hath great recompense of reward, as it tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter also. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. But praise the Lord, there is a God who is long-suffering, and He is waiting. He is waiting for that last person to come unto Him. Praise the Lord. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, praise the Lord. What an opportunity. What a moment. And I pray, oh, that there would be someone who would come to the Lord tonight. I pray that there would be somebody who would give their heart to God. Even now, there would be somebody who would get right with God and do the things that matter. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. We're asking, oh Lord, oh God, as your hand is still stretched forth in mercy, Lord, that, oh God, there would be someone, oh Lord, that would draw nigh to you, Lord. Oh God, that would come to you, Lord. Oh God, while there is yet still time, God, for you do stand at the door and knock. I pray, oh God, oh Lord, as your long suffering is great and merciful and you're kind, oh Lord, oh God, you're steadfast. I pray, oh God, that those wandering souls would return to you now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would bind the strong man and all the lies that he tells and all the convincing he tries to do. Lord, let us not be of those that draw back unto perdition, God, but let us be of those that believe to the saving of the soul, Lord. Oh God, for you are coming with fiery wrath and indignation, oh God, to pour out judgment upon this world like never before. Oh God, to end this all, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that we'd be found right in your sight. I pray, oh Lord, that those individuals that need salvation would come unto you now. Oh Lord, while you're yet calling, while the door is still opened, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing number 58 in the hymnal, The Breaking of the Day.
Amen.
It's almost time for the Lord to come. I hear the people say, the stars of heaven are growing dim. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The night is almost gone, the day is coming on. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The signs foretold in the sun and moon, in earth and sea and sky, aloud proclaim to mortal men that the coming of the Master draweth nigh. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The night is almost gone, the day is coming on. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. It must be time for the waiting church to cast her pride away. With girded loins and burning lamps, to look for the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The night is almost gone, the day is coming on. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. There must be those in the field of sin, far from the fold astray, who once were happy in Jesus' love, and looking for the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The night is almost gone, the day is coming on. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Go quickly out in the streets and the lanes and in the broad highway, and call the maimed, the halt and the blind, to be ready for the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The night.
the breaking of the day. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day. The night is almost gone, the day is coming on. Oh, it must be the breaking of the day.